Do we not have walk-up music specific to this guy?
I don't believe we do.
This guy?
No.
This guy. That's a. The kids are saying that now. That's a new thing. I've been hearing it a lot from my teenagers. This guy is as good as it gets when it comes to covering the Milwaukee Bucks. He was smart enough to ignore my advice, and he has been fantastic on the Bucks all along. He is our friend Eric Name, and he joins us now. Eric, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Tell me what I'm supposed to think about this trade, and did it surprise you in any way, shape, or form, or given how plugged in you are, you knew something of this ilk was coming down the pike?
Yeah, I mean, not a huge surprise. This is something that we've been reporting on at The Athletic the last couple of days. The interest in Kyle Kuzma from the Bucks and the potential of a Middleton-Kuzma deal. But even saying that, it is a surprise when you trade one of the greatest players in franchise history. It just is. And to be clear, that is what Chris Middleton is. He is one of the greatest players in Bucks franchise history. He's first in the franchise history in three-point makes, third in points, third in assists, seventh in rebounds. And he was the number two guy on the team that won a championship. So no matter how in the know you are, no matter how much you are plugged into the team, trading that guy will always be something that surprises anyone following the team. And I think that's where kind of all of this starts for me is, you know, this is to me in many ways the story that I'm writing right now is this is the end of an era in Milwaukee. And that's not to say this move won't be successful, that the Bucks won't have success after that. You're just looking at, for the last 12 years, it has been Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton. Giannis has never played an NBA game without Chris Middleton on the Bucks active roster. He could be hurt, Giannis could be hurt, whatever. But he's never experienced life as an NBA player without Chris Middleton. They grew up together. They fought on the practice court as they were fighting for time under Jason Kidd. They fought together against other teams as they were trying to figure it out under Mike Budenholzer. They blank and did it in 2021 when they won a championship together. And now the last few years they've dealt with injuries and haven't been able to get back over the hump as Chris has missed playoffs, as Giannis has missed playoffs, as Chris has missed time during the season, as Giannis has missed time during the season. They haven't been able to put it together, but to me, that's just kind of where all this starts. This is the end of an era in Milwaukee, and that doesn't mean the next era is going to go poorly or successfully. This all I can say today is this is the end of an era in Milwaukee.
Eric, would you agree that he's been criminally underappreciated by Bucks fans?
Yes, I can. I can.
Why is
I
that?
I can agree with you.
Why do you think that's the case?
I mean, to me, I just think there's always going to be the desire to want more. There's always going to be the desire to, you know, pair Giannis with this other superstar. And to me, that's always kind of been the hope. And because of it, you're just seeing you're seeing Chris put up to what I always kind of believed was an unfair standard, that, you know, he should be putting up the same numbers as, you know, this all-NBA player. And it's like, well, that isn't exactly what Chris has been asked to do over the years. And it's just, I don't know, it's always been incredibly interesting to me because this dude should be a legend. This dude's number will go up in the rafters. I mean, the Bucks haven't announced that, but if it doesn't, I don't know why the rafters exist or why jersey retirements exist. Because nice. If that dude isn't getting his jersey retired, like, I don't know what we're doing. So, as far as why, I've never understood it. I will never understand it. I think most of my career I've been referred to as a Chris Middleton apologist from many Bucks fans. And I just don't understand why I would need to apologize for someone being as great as Chris Middleton has been over his 12 years in Milwaukee.
Toady.
All right, Eric. Toady, as Wildy's been known in many of the Packers circles. How do you think, you know Giannis as well as anyone, especially in the media, how's he taken this news?
We talked with Giannis at Shoot Around. I literally just got back from Shoot Around, and I think, you know, going through some of his quotes and listening to kind of what he would say is, you know, for him, this is, to quote him, he said, for me, it's a little bit bigger than business. It's family. And he kind of pointed to the fact that, yes, we did win a championship together, but we also lost a lot of times together. We went through those dark times together. You know, we sat on the bus together as we were getting ready to go to a pressure situation. To quote Giannis again, it's almost like I've been to war with him. That's what I will remember. And I think that to me is kind of, it's going to hurt no matter what, right? Like this idea of moving on from someone that you went to war with, right? You had Drew Holiday. Giannis went through those same things. Now with Chris, he's going through it as well. But I do think Giannis is very aware of this as a business. You know, over the years, Giannis has always told me that, you know, I could be traded someday. And everyone always laughs it off and says, come on, they're not going to trade you. Why would they ever trade you? And then you see something like Luka Doncic get traded, and you are reminded that this is always a business. So I think Giannis is going to be hurt by all of this, because that's just how human connection works. Like, if you've been with someone every day, and as Giannis said, I've seen this guy more than my family. I've seen him more than my brothers for the last 12 years of my life. This has been the guy that I've been around the most. That's going to hurt no matter what. But Giannis understands it's a business, understands that the team is always going to be trying to look forward and do what's in the, and John Horst is going to try to do what's in the best interest of the team. And I don't think he ever really makes a huge stink about that. He's always kind of said, like, keep me out of these decisions. You know, if you want my input, I can give it, but these are your decisions to make. You are the decision makers, and I'm just kind of an employee. So it's going to hurt. And I think really all we can do is see where it goes from here. And a large part of that is probably going to be dependent on what Kyle Kuzma can do here in Milwaukee.
Talking with Eric Name of The Athletic. He was just at Bucks Shoot Around in Charlotte. He will have more on The Athletic from his conversation with Giannis and more insight into this trade. His story, along with David Aldridge and Josh Robbins, is up on the website now. Eric, you just said this will come down to where it goes from here, not just with Kyle Kuzma, but if there are other dominoes set to fall. How do you view Kyle Kuzma as a player and how he might fit into this team? And what comes next? There's still more than 24 hours before the trade deadline. Is this a standalone trade, or is there more coming, do you suspect?
I think John Horst is always going to push for more. He's been a very aggressive GM over the years. Yesterday at The Athletic, I had kind of written about the number that was going to impact the Bucks mm-hmm. most at the trade deadline. And that was roughly $6.5 million. I think it's $6,499,639. That was how far they were up above the second apron. And if you were above the second apron, that means your 2032 first-round pick was frozen. That means you couldn't put multiple people together in a trade unless you got yourself under the second apron, which they did in this trade, which means they can now put two guys together. So if you wanted to put together Bobby Portis at $12.5 million and Pat Connaughton at $9.5 million, you could go get a player that's worth $23 million, if I did my math right there. So you can go out and kind of make those moves, which is something that was not available to them previously. So I do not believe that they're done trying to make a move. This, however, is, I think, a pretty difficult time with how complicated the CBA is to try to get moves done. So I think John Horst will try to keep making moves, but I don't actually know if he'll be able to get it done. Speaking about Kyle Kuzma, I think if you're the Bucks, you are praying hoping and praying that Kyle Kuzma can find the player that he was with the Los Angeles Lakers. With the Los Angeles Lakers, he was an important part of their championship team. You know, he kind of just was a good role player and did the things that he needed to do. And that's what you have to be hoping that you're getting, because the Kyle Kuzma that went to the Washington Wizards is someone who was not a good role player. It was not someone that wanted to necessarily fit inside his role. He was out there trying to show the world that he's even better than he has been when he was, you know, a third option or a fourth option with the Lakers. He wanted to show that he could be a first option. And what everyone found is that that's probably not the best situation for him. That is probably not the best role for him. He's been incredibly inefficient since he's been in Washington. I mean, I think you're hoping that he gives you some more size. The Bucks have tried to play big all year long, so he is 6'9", has a little bit more size than Middleton. I think the other thing you're kind of counting on is the fact that over the years, Kuzma has been able to play 33, 34, 35 minutes a game. That is not something that Chris Middleton has been able to do. For as good as Chris Middleton is, as much as I believe he is a franchise legend, it's tough to get around the fact that he only played in 23 games this year, and he was only averaging 23 minutes a game. And I think when the Bucks are trying to think about how to put together a strong team and a strong postseason team, some people say the best ability is availability, and Kyle Kuzma should hopefully be more available than Chris Middleton is. And certainly at this point, maybe Chris would have gotten there by the end of the season, but I mean, I think it appears that the Bucks were kind of thinking about having a more sure thing on the floor right now, even if that sure thing maybe doesn't have the same as high of a ceiling as Chris Middleton does, but at least you know that floor is a little bit higher. And then I think this trade was largely about the future too. You know, the Bucks were able to make sure those picks don't get frozen, but also on top of that, Kyle Kuzma's deal is about $12.5 million less than Chris Middleton's next year, and it declines in its final year. So you're just going to go further and further down on the salary scale, and that means more opportunity to re-sign a guy like Brook Lopez, re-sign a guy like Bobby Portis, guys that have been very important to this team as well and might have been in question if Chris Middleton had decided to come back on his $34 million player option for next season. So I think a lot of those things kind of go into effect. I think this is a move that, if you want to explain the rationale to me, I can understand more as what it does to set you up in the future. As far as the right now, you are hoping to find a player that has not existed for the last three seasons in Washington. And that is a little bit scary when you are talking about a team that all season long has hoped to be a championship contender. So it's going to be a very exciting time to see what Kyle Kuzma can do and if he can be that guy that he used to be when he was in a better role, a better situation with a better team.
I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't make me overly optimistic, what you just said there. So, Eric, does this trade, if nothing else happens, does what the Bucks did this morning make this team, this season, more of a title contender than they were 3 hours ago?
I think it all depends how you view the availability in ceiling of Chris Middleton. I am of the belief that if they would have brought him along the rest of the season and kept him on a strong schedule and, you know, kept him out of back-to-backs and made sure he didn't take 6 days off like he did when he went to New Orleans and they got stuck in a snowstorm and all these things. Like, if you kept him in a good flow, I think Chris Middleton would have been ready to go to play 35 minutes a game in the postseason. But that is just my belief. That is knowing Chris Middleton's form, knowing Chris Middleton's work ethic, knowing the player that he has been. But that is what he has been in the past. This season, that Chris Middleton has not showed up. So I think your argument for if this team is better is the simple fact that Kyle Kuzma is a good basketball player. Maybe not as good as Chris Middleton, but he will be on the floor. He can give you minutes, and he can contribute. And that, to some, may have been more important. I ultimately believe you've brought the ceiling of this team down this season, but maybe you've also brought the floor up because you think Kuzma will be on the floor and is not as big of an injury risk, a sit-out risk, as Chris Middleton going forward. So, I believe that their championship ceiling has lowered with this move. But I do think if you're not as optimistic about Chris Middleton's health and availability going forward as I am, I can understand how you may say Kyle Kuzma gives them a better chance. But it really is, like I said, Kuzma is going to have to regain a form that we haven't seen in a number of years. And that is going to be a big challenge for this Bucks team as they try to figure out their way forward in this new era.
Sounds to me like you're either hoping for a guy to be something he hasn't been for the last 3 years, or you're hoping for a guy to be something he hasn't been this season, and either way, you had to do something. Eric, we know you got to go. You got a lot of work to do. Thanks for carving out time for us. That does not go unappreciated around here. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That is the great Eric Name. You can read him at The Athletic. He had his story yesterday about that number that he mentioned. He's got the story up now with David Aldridge and Josh Robbins about the trade, and I know he's working on a analysis of the trade further. Yes. But you're not how you doing over there, old boy?
That didn't sound good. And Eric knows this team. He's on the road. The Giannis stuff.
We'll help Tausch work through these feelings. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.